It's The Currents Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today's Wednesday, December 5th. I'm Jay Gabler.
And this is Jade with some semi-confusing indie rock beef involving a hidden secret album and Dave Grohl.
And I'm going to be telling you who is the most tweeted about celebrity this year. And normally this is where I say, but first, here are a few headlines. This is the headline we're going to talk about first. Let's just
get
there.
All right, dive in.
Not Donald Trump, not LeBron James, not Lady Gaga. The most tweeted about celebrity this year is a musical group. It's BTS.
Yeah. If you're not familiar with this band, this is like the biggest pop band in the world.
They're a massively successful K-pop band. They're the first K-pop band to top Billboard's album chart. That happened this year. And people love talking about them on social media. Not only were they the most mentioned user on Twitter, but they also had the most liked tweet this year. It was their video version of Drake's In My Feelings challenge. The Flaming Lips have announced their next album, and it features Mick Jones of The Clash, but not as a singer or guitarist. He's narrating.
Okay, I will accept that. Of all, like, on the spectrum of weirdness, that's on the pretty normal side of things.
So this is Flaming Lips. Of course, the album has to come out on Record Store Day, April 20th. It's going to be called King's Mouth. And according to Wayne Coyne, who's the frontman of the Flaming Lips, Mick Jones will be on almost every track providing narration. For the first time since 1990, when Billboard started tracking the most played songs on country radio, there's not a single female artist in that format's top 20.
Wow, that just seems bizarre to me. I mean, I'm not super into the country music scene, so maybe I'm just living in a different world, but I've been seeing all of the top albums of the year charts all across the spectrum, and it's women heavy in the top 20. So to see country just with nothing seems shocking to me.
Country radio has been really slow to pick up female artists in recent years. It hasn't always been this way. Ironically, one of the eight women who land tracks in the country radio top 60 right now is an artist named Lauren Elena, whose song that's landing in the top 60 is called Ladies in the 90s. It's actually a song about how there used to be more women on the radio. There are shout-outs to artists including Shania Twain and the Dixie Chicks. And she's not wrong. On This Week in 2000, there were seven songs by women in the country airplay top 20. I just wanna feel like ladies in the 90s. Turn it down and find me some strawberry wine.
So I can sing all night long. William Goldsmith, current Sunny Day Real Estate drummer and former Foo Fighter drummer, says that Dave Grohl is the reason no one has heard, quite possibly, the greatest Sunny Day Real Estate album ever. Goldsmith posted this video of himself playing samples of music with a caption that read, "The greatest Sunny Day Real Estate record ever made has been silenced, abandoned, and buried within the murkiest depths of Dave Grohl's sock drawer."
Dave Grohl, why are you hiding a Sunny Day Real Estate album in your sock drawer?
Well, this is not the first time that Goldsmith has had some, let's say, unkind words to say about Dave Grohl. He previously called him a schoolyard bully for cutting Goldsmith out of Foo Fighters' 1997 album called The Color and the Shape.
And is it really reasonable if you're in Foo Fighters to get mad when Dave Grohl re-records your drum parts?
I mean, maybe. So maybe there's something going on, but there is a lot of inter-band conflict because Nate Mendel put out a statement, and this makes the whole thing a little bit messier, if it could be that, because Mendel is a former Sunny Day Real Estate bassist and a current Foo Fighter bassist. And he said about the story, "There is no truth to this story." Dave Grohl, of course, has made no comment, but there actually was an album that was supposed to come out back in 2010 from Sunny Day Real Estate, but it never came out. So this might be that album, and it might have been sidelined. And of course, now William Goldsmith has come back and said, well, okay, maybe Dave Grohl isn't hiding it. There is a reason why the album hasn't come out.
And the album was being recorded at the studio owned by Dave Grohl, right?
Yeah. So there's a lot of intermingling and bad blood between former bandmates. So while we all wait for the greatest Sunny Day Real Estate record to actually come out, sounds like we're going to have to wait a little bit longer while we go in circles.
For the first time since 1934, the legendary Apollo Theater is expanding. Not by adding on to the 1,500-seat auditorium made famous by the likes of James Brown and Aretha Franklin. The Apollo is acquiring the Victoria Theater, which is just a few doors down in Harlem. The Apollo is going to redevelop the Victoria Theater into the Apollo Performing Arts Center, which, according to the New York Times, quote, will be used to incubate works by up-and-coming artists, particularly performers of color, who might not be ready for the main theater.
That's fantastic. This is such a great way to keep the legacy of what the Apollo really was alive.
Yeah, totally. The Apollo CEO says that she wants the theater to become Harlem's version of Lincoln Center with a bunch of different flexible performing spaces to showcase different kinds of artists. This is also a great way to preserve part of the Victoria Theater, which is a historic landmark. It's owned by the state of New York, and the state has been trying for decades to get it redeveloped. Construction is finally now underway on a project that will ultimately encompass condos, a hotel, and then the Performing Arts Center. The Apollo first considered taking the project on 20 years ago, then 9/11 happened, tourism took a hit, finances were shaky in the city of New York, so the Apollo had to back out. Now it's back on again, it's going to happen, and the Apollo is actually doing great. It's run a surplus for the last 5 years. So to celebrate this great news for the Apollo, let's listen to a little bit of one of the most iconic live albums in music history, James Brown's Live at the Apollo, 1962.
Yeah.
When you think about presidents who have musical connections, you might think, oh, Barack Obama having Prince play at the White House. You might think Bill Clinton playing saxophone on Arsenio. You probably don't think the late President George H.W. Bush.
No.
A clip has just surfaced from his 1989 inauguration showing the 41st president playing a little air guitar on stage with Percy Sledge and Sam Moore.
It's very cool, but it also makes him look slightly uncomfortable, like he's excited to be there, but also would rather be on the sidelines.
Yeah, so there's a reason this clip has not been widely seen since it was shot in 1989. The clip comes from an inaugural concert, which is organized by George H.W. Bush's campaign manager, Lee Atwater. Now, Lee Atwater was strongly criticized for some of the racially inflammatory tactics used in that 1988 presidential campaign. It happens that Lee Atwater was also a big fan of blues and soul music, and he booked this concert with legends like Bo Diddley and Willie Dixon. It was such a great concert that a film of it was actually released a few years ago, but this clip that just surfaced today was not included in that concert documentary. So the clip has George H.W. Bush taking the stage and picking up this guitar that has the Prez painted on it, and he sort of awkwardly strums along while Lee Atwater, who also happens to be a pretty good guitarist, we learn, is kind of ripping a solo on guitar next to him. The reason the footage is coming out now, it's been released by Howell Beagle, who's one of the show's producers, and decided to release it sort of as a tribute as George H.W. Bush is being mourned across the country, and he says he's going to give a copy of the video to Bush's presidential library. And that's today's music news. You can read more about all those stories over at thecurrent.org. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade.
Our producer is Anna Wagle. You can read more about all these stories over at thecurrent.org. Here's the plan for the rest of the week. Normally, we talk about new music on Friday. We're moving that up a day. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about all the most exciting new holiday releases. Then on Friday, you know what happens?
It's Grammy time, so we'll be breaking down all of the Grammy nominations for you.
Thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, our president of the United States of America.